learning Siman Shinta Zayin this week. The three Sifim. It is the Siman about subletting, what we call subletting. The question of a tenant who wants to, during the term of his lease, he has a fixed term lease. If the lease is not fixed term, the landlord can just terminate at any time. But we're talking about a fixed term lease. So the tenant wants to leave and install somebody else, a different tenant, in his stead. Are you allowed to do that? So that's our siman is all about when yes, when not, and related halachas. Now, it goes without saying, as we've been discussing, alluding to all along, most of the halachas of schiras, this is almost purely a contractual sugya. Almost everything depends on what you contract. Most leases today, I think, a proper lease typically will stipulate one way or another the right to the tenant to sublet or not. It'll either specifically say that he can or that he can't. But these are, and those kinds of clauses certainly control. And again, one would even be recommended to put that in and not to have to say, let's just rely on finding out afterwards what the din is. It's always good to put in, write in advance what you want. But this siman deals mostly with the case of a contract which doesn't specify anything about subletting. Additionally, of course, there's the question of minhag, that if there's a prevailing custom, that would also control. But again, it's important to know the native halacha, what happens in the absence of any minhag, in the absence of any contract. So basically, there are three shitas in the Rishonim about whether, in general, a tenant has the right by default to sublet. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ikar Shita Lahalacha, follows the Rambam. The Rambam says you are allowed to sublet with the one crucial proviso that the incoming, the household that you're installing, that you're replacing yourself with, doesn't have a heavier footprint. The common example is doesn't have not a larger household than yours. Poskim generally don't discuss questions of what happens if kids are born afterward, how does that work, but Poskim seem to just discuss family sizes, household sizes being more or less fixed. And the halacha is, you're the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, you're allowed to bring somebody else in as long as their household is equal to or smaller than yours. Not in the Furusha Gemara anywhere. The Rambam infers it from certain halachas in the laws of Schiris Metaltalin, the laws of renting personal property. That's how the Rambam Paskin, Mikan and Omer, they're allowed to sublet as long as their household is not larger.
Is that something that was usually explicitly discussed?
Because Al's time?
Yeah, like what they would say, like, is that something you normally would say, well, you have this, and therefore I don't want more than yours? Like, unless he has no idea how many people he's bringing in.
You mean if the original lease didn't even take into account how large the tenant's family was? It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. But the Rambam himself acknowledges that there was a Yesh Mishahara who disagreed. V'lo Yerli, she said, an MS. The Rambam says you are allowed to. The Ravid actually paskins like the Machmirim that you're not allowed to. And the Ravid says the reason he gives, he says, Yesh B'dareinu Omrim Kain. There are those who say that you're not allowed to sublet. The reason he gives is Sheyesh B'nei Adam Shemachriven Bayis B'dirasim. Some households are just harder on a house, just damaging more than others, and the landlord has the right to object. It's Machlok Tvishanim. Again, the Ikar Lahalacha is like the Rambam. There is a third shita, which the Ramah discusses. This is a complicated shita. I'm not going to get into it tonight. That it depends whether the rent has been paid in advance or not. If the rent has been paid, the tenant does not have the right to sublet. If the rent has not yet been paid, he has the right to sublet. Very difficult to understand why he should have less right due to the fact that he paid in advance. Usually we say that if you pay in advance, it's more yours. It's memkarhu. You have even more control over it. Difficult sheet to understand. The Achronim are Mayrachan. It's a complicated and difficult topic. But roughly speaking, these are the three sheetas. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and most poskim say you're allowed to sublet. The Ravid says you are not. And there's the sheet that says it depends on whether you paid in advance or not. Now, one interesting question I want to discuss for the remainder of our time tonight is, let's say you sublet and you actually make a profit. You sublet and you are going to get more money than your rent is. So what happens then? Let's say we go with the Rambam, that you're allowed to sublet. Does that mean that you're allowed to charge the incoming tenant more than your rent and pocket the difference? Or do you have to turn over the difference to the landlord? Can the landlord say, cut you out and say, I want to be the landlord to this new tenant? What is the halacha of a tenant who found somebody who's paying more than he's paying? So most poskim say the consensus view more or less is that the tenant has the right to pocket that difference. This is the opinion of Marsham, Drisha, and Nesivus. The first Nesivus in the Siman just brings briefly the Drisha, who says so, and he says that it is Pasha. Shtam also argues that it's pash, basically that it's definitely true. And the Drisha brings a raya from a din in Shin Samach Gimel, in Hilchas Gzela. The din over there, that din is based on Muki Yosef. And Muki Yosef says that, it actually depends. If you have the right to sublet, either because the new household is not larger than the old one, like we just discussed, or because even if it is larger, if your lease has a clause that you're allowed to sublet, then you will keep, Mukiyosef says explicitly, you will keep the additional rent. If you had no right to sublet, then he says the additional rent will have to go back to the owner. You'll still be able to keep whatever rent you need to offset your lease, but the additional rent will have to go back to the owner. But at least in the case where you have the right to sublet, Mukiyosef says explicitly that you get to keep it, basically like the Marashtam, like the Drisha, like the Nasivas. In the Sefer Shemen Rokeach, he actually said it's not such a raya from there, because the case in the Muki Yosef is talking about after the fact. The guy already went and didn't ask any questions and leased it without permission and pocketed the change. Then Muki Yosef says you don't have to give it back. But up front, if the tenant wants to start doing business with the other guy's apartment and wants to start selling it for a profit, then maybe he says, the Shemen Rokeach argues, you'd be allowed to say that, I don't want you to do it. If you found a bigger tenant, I want that tenant. Maisi says the Rambam is mashmi even in that case. Poskim mashmi even in that case, that the original tenant can keep the difference.
Is there anybody brings in this case halosis?
They certainly do. That's what we're about to discuss. So the Marashdam, when he brings this din that the tenant is allowed to keep the difference, he says even though there is a din of case halosis chaver parsah shel chavero. That din, Rav Sussman was referring to, is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The Mishnah says that if someone rents a cow and then lends the cow to somebody else, and then the cow dies of natural causes, of an onus, so the halacha is a shoel, the guy who borrowed it is chayav to pay for onesim. A socher is not chayav to pay for onesim, so the shoel owes the cow to the socher because he borrowed it from him. The socher does not owe the cost of the cow to the owner because he's a socher, and a socher is not chayav for that. So Alpidin, it sounds like, and that's the sheet of the Chachamim in the Mishnah, that he should be able to keep the difference. The Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's how we paskin. You can't do business with somebody else's cow, and any profit that you make has to be turned over to the owner. Now, there are different understandings in the Rishonim and the Achronim. What is this principle? Often, you find the poskim basically seem to be using it just as an intuitive notion of zelo fair, we've discussed in the past. It's just not fair that you should be making profit on someone else's cow. There are Rishonim who seem to have a much more technical interpretation. It has to do with the laws of Shvuah and Shomrim. Tosis over there has a discussion. We're not going to get into that. But for our purposes, we'll just take it on a very simple level that the poskim often understand it just intuitively as an idea that it's just not fair. We find this in various other cases too. So, for example, the Beis Yitzchak discussing our sugya brings a Mordechai who says that if I give a shliach money and I say I owe a debt or I want you to buy something, here is $10. It's going to cost $10. And for some reason, it only costs $9. So the other dollar goes back to the mishalech. Why? The shliach can't get it. It's not his. It's not fair. It doesn't make sense that he should keep someone else's money. There's a similar case. Other cases in halacha where we find this principle invoked. So the Marashtam says, maybe you'll tell me there's an issue of Ketzalos Chara Prasa Shel Chavero here. I shouldn't be the tenant who's just basically a middleman, shouldn't profit from someone else's apartment. Says the Marashtam, not an issue. Again, Schiris Yom Memkaru, that this fundamental klal that for the duration of the lease, it is my property, at least the payros, the use of the property is mine. So I'm not making Schara on your property. Bishlam over there, other Akharim say also, the goof of the cow, even though I'm a tenant, but it's the goof of the cow that was destroyed. The goof of the cow is not mine. The payment is really for the goof of the cow. The payment is not for my 1 week rental. So for the goof of the cow, it's mistaver. It's not fair that I should keep that money. It's just replacing the guy's lost cow, and he's the one who lost the cow, not me. That's osis chara prasa shel chavero. But here, where all I'm doing is collecting rent for the term of the lease, and for the term of the lease, it's my apartment. That's what the Marashtam says, that is not considered osis chara prasa shel chavero. And the truth is, the Ktzos Achoshen in Shin Samach Gimel, it's on this week's curriculum, the Ktzos makes the same point. The Ktzos also says that this is b'chlal not a problem, osis chara prasa shel chavero, because for the duration of the lease, it is considered my apartment, and I'm simply making schara from my apartment, not from your apartment. The Ktzos says, over there, it's for the guf apara, and the guf of the apara belongs to the owner. He says, a hair. I was kanda habayis ladira the skiris kanya, skiris no memker, who is skiris kanya. We actually say skiris lo kanya, as we discussed. That's a big stira, and that always comes up. The yeshlo reshus laskiro, avalei schar didei v'zeb bar. So this is klar. This is not a problem. There's actually a very interesting machlokas among the 19th century poskim. If Reuven insures against loss, fire, damage, Shimon's property, maybe because he's a tenant, maybe he just Stam decides to take out a policy on someone else's apartment, assuming that's possible and legal, and then the house Taka burns down, who's entitled to the policy? So the Achronim debate this. I think the consensus view is the person who paid the premiums and took out the policy is entitled to the payout. And again, someone raises the issue of Schar of Parasa Shel Chaveri, so it's not. You're not doing Schar in his house. That's called Schar in your premiums, that they're paying you because you pay the premiums. You agreed to take the risk, and you agreed to pay them, and they took a risk. They calculated it. And again, that's called Schar in your premium, not in because they're paying for what you did. But in any event, putting aside those cases, this is what the Ksos and the Maharash Dam say, that this is not a problem of Schar Parasa Shel Chaveri because it's considered your para, because you own the use of the property for the duration of the lease.
So if you leased it for a year, you can sublease it weekly as a short-term rental?
Mm-hmm.
And just close.
I suppose one could argue, certainly in a modern scenario, you can argue that going in and going out it puts more wear and tear than the simply living there.
The same as renting it to a larger family.
Right, you can argue that, and the truth is that the whole makar of this din, as we mentioned earlier, is from Sirius Metalkalin, from ships and donkeys. Over there, you do find such a svara that taking out, if you replace the cargo mid voyage, taking out the cargo and putting in the cargo, each time you do that, it puts some strain on the ship. So, yeah, if the Matthias is that the moving in, obviously things get bumped, things get scratched. But certainly, if we fail, if the basement fails, if there's an additional wear and tear, then you'd be absolutely right. Then you couldn't do that, I think, right?
So, according to the Ksos, Rabbi Yossi would agree that if you rent the cow, then first show, so he rents it to someone else.
And he sublets or he subleases the cow.
He makes more money, the prostitute would be able to keep that money.
Right. Now, the Ksos actually, we should note, is coming to disagree with the Nemuka Yosef. The Nemuka Yosef, on his case, Gufa, where he says also this basic din, more or less, that you're allowed to sublet and pocket the difference, Nemuka Yosef himself asked him the same kasha as the Maharash Dam, that what happened to Osis Chara, the same kasha by Sussman was asking, what happened to the kasha, what happened to the Indian of Ketel Osis Chara Prasa Shel Chavero? Mukhiyosi says a strange teretz, he says, a difficult teretz, he says, the problem of Osis Chara Prasa Shel Chavero, that you can't do it, is only when you're not authorized to sublet, when you're not allowed to because it's a larger family, or because Metalton, you're never allowed to sublet, because he doesn't trust the new owner, for different reasons why you wouldn't be allowed to sublet. But if you had the right to sublet, either because there's no reason not to, or because your contract explicitly allows it, then we don't say Osis Chara Prasa Shel Chavero.
Even if it's allowable, is it under the context of Sisa Yosha
Matos? There, in certain cases, you have Tarumas. The post can discuss Tarumas in some of these cases, but I'm not going to get into Tarumas right now. There might be issues if there is some reason. Again, if he has a real reason for objecting, he could be Makiv. If he has no reason at all, then post can say it's Midas Dom for him to object. But if there could be certain cases where he doesn't have the full right to object, but it's a bit more of a hassle or a bit more annoying, then it certainly would be Yosha Matos not to do it. He would have Tarumas on you for doing it, so yes. So Mukhi Yosef claims that the din of Ketzer al-Halos Chaparat Shal Chaveru was only if he had no right to do it. All the Achronim Matmiya, the Ktos is Matmiya, the Gon basically is asked the question. Other Achronim, Lachan Ephraim, all ask on Mukhi Yosef. It's just not true. The Gemara is pretty clear that even in the case where you do have Rishus, where you specifically asked for Rishus, he told you have the right to rent it, to sublet it, to rent it out, you still have the din, according to Rabbi Yossi, according to the way we paskin, that you can't do Schar Prasa Shel Chaveru. So that can't really be the chiluk. So that's where the Ksos is. The real chiluk is the Maharash Dam's chiluk. The real chiluk is this chiluk, that in our case, where you rented it and you're just renting out what you already rented, that's not called Prasa Shel Chaveru. That's called Parasa Shel Cha. Machne Ephraim has another interesting idea. He asks Kasha on Mukhi Yosef, and he goes even further, and he says, that which in Mukhi Yosef says, that when you have no right to do it, then we say it's a problem of Schar Prasa Shel Chaveru. That doesn't just mean because you're a bad person, because you had no right to do it, all of a sudden we take away your right to profit. It's not a knas. He says what Mik Yosef means is that if you rented it out to a larger household than yours, in other words, a household that you had no right to do, that means you rented out the house for low-impact purposes, you rented it out to someone else for high-impact purposes, you never paid for that additional level of usage. You paid for low-stress use, and you're renting it out for high-stress use. You never paid for that use. So this hefts into the Baal because the high-stress use puts more damage on the house, and you never paid for that. You only paid the lesser amount. That's as far as that it's not fair that because you didn't pay for that extra usage, it makes sense that the extra money, which we're assuming roughly corresponds to that extra level of damage, should go to the owner. But in a case where you just happened to violate an Isser, but there was no actual, the contract doesn't allow it, but there was no actual increased hefset to the owner, then even Mukhi Yosef would agree the fact that you had no right to do it is not a reason to take away your right to scoop off the extra profit. Then he says another svara, seems to be saying a separate svara. He says, Mukhi Yosef is talking about a case with his whole invocation of the rule of against doing schara parasa shel chavero, is talking about a case where the first tenant paid less than it's worth. He got a deal, he got a metziah. Then he rents out to somebody else for the full price. Since he didn't actually pay for that the full price, it's not fair that he should be allowed to keep that. The guy did him a favor. Somehow it makes sense that if you got full price for it, it's only fair that you should turn that over to the owner. Intuitively, it makes sense. I'm not sure I understand the lumdus fully. But that's what he says. Masha'en came, well, you paid full price, and you own it legamri, and you just happened to find a guy who's willing to offer more. Maybe the price went up a little bit. Maybe you found a guy who's desperate, whatever it is. Avoid the shalav or no. But if you found a guy who paid more, since you did pay full price, even Mukhi Yosef would agree that you're more entitled to keep the difference, to keep the profit. So as you mentioned, this is really the consensus, that in general, certainly if you had Rishus, maybe even if you didn't have Rishus, you are entitled both to sublet and to pocket any difference. There is a svara the Shemin Rakech wants to say. He brings the language of the Shach. The Shach says the reason that the Marashdam and others who say you're allowed to pocket the difference, they point out the Lashon of the Rambam is that if he wants it back and he says, Lama Titrach, if the landlord says, just, why sublet? Just give it to me and I'll let you have the rent off. The landlord has the right to do that. The Marashdam understands that's a courtesy to the landlord. It's his house. As long as you're not going to lose anyway, it's all the same to you. What do you care if you sublet or if you just give it back to the landlord? If there's no difference at all, then why bother? Just do the landlord a favor and give it to him. But as soon as there is a reason, as soon as it's not Lama Titrach, you have a good reason for wanting to sublet because you're making more money, and you have the right to do that. The Shemin Rakech brings a Shach who says that the real svara here is the landlord can say, it's my property. I don't have to let you sublet it to anybody else. So good. So if he doesn't have to let you sublet it, that means even if you're making more money, he doesn't have to let you sublet to anybody else. It's not really Lama Titrach. It's a svara that it's my property and you have no right to sublet. But Lamaisa, the consensus of the poskim, it is not like this. There is a Chavetzel Sasharon who also wants to argue that it's Machlokes HaPoskim, but again, the consensus is that you're allowed to sublet and you're allowed to pocket the difference. You're allowed to make a profit. It's not considered Osis Chara Prasa Shal Chaver.